Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tammy Elizabeth writes, "You'd be surprised by how many times a woman sits in her car or in the shower or in the laundry or at the sink and quickly cries because she's so stressed. Because when she shows her face again, she looks untouched and unbothered and manages to sport a beautiful smile and carries on like she's fine. Women are some of the most resilient creatures. Appreciate them." Hello, I'm Claire Tonti. Welcome to my podcast, Just Make the Thing, a show for people who want to start a thing and keep on making it. Today, I have two very special guests in my studio, Mandy and Kate from Two Peas in a Podcast. These two are powerhouse women. Their podcast, Two Peas in a Pod, has just skyrocketed. It's a brilliant show. The most important thing about this show is their friendship. They started it to really explore all of the feelings and experiences they've had since having their twins who have a variety of different disabilities. Gosh, I learned so much from these women. I cried with them as I listened to their show, and their story is one of heartbreak and grief, but also humor and creativity and joy in parenthood and in all of the mess. I hope you love them just as much as I do. Here they are, Mandy and Kate.
We're on.
Hello.
Hello, Mandy and Kate.
Hello.
Hello, Claire.
Oh, it's so surreal actually having you in my house because I've been listening to you nonstop for a couple of days.
What a beautiful podcast you've created.
Thank you.
And so for people who don't know, yes, I want to ask you first because you started a podcast and it's become a really important podcast, I think, for a lot of people. How did it start? Like, where did it start?
How did it start?
I don't know how it started.
Oh, I think for about a year.
Yeah, because we love podcasts.
Yeah, we love them.
Yeah, and so I think we said we should start our own.
We should start our own. We couldn't find anything in the area that we wanted to listen to that was Australian. So Mandy and I talk about raising children with disabilities, additional needs and special needs.
Yeah.
And a lot of those podcasts are American, which is great. And a lot of them are quite faith-centered.
Yeah.
And so we were like, well, we don't fit that mold. We listen to them, but we don't fit that mold.
Yeah.
So.
And we just thought we want Australian voices.
Yeah. Mm, and women.
And
right?
Women. And we're the age group that loves podcasts, so you want to hear us, we think.
And we didn't really think anyone would listen, but it was such good therapy.
It really, really was. Yeah. And we had the headspace to give it a go. So I had been in a women's choir for 5 years and I'd left that. And so I was thinking about what I could do creatively and I just felt like the universe said now's the time.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk a little bit about your experience, I guess, with disability and with different abled children? Sure. And
so I have 5 children, 3 of them who are probably atypical.
Yep.
And then I have identical twin boys who are 14. Who have a whole range of different issues going on. And I don't always talk about the specifics because they probably will listen one day. And it's really my journey parenting children who don't fit into the mold. Where do you go to school? What sporting groups can you join? All of that sort of stuff. And the grief and joy that comes along with that. Mm. So that's my.
Mm. Yeah. And you call them Buzz and Woody.
We do, yeah.
Right.
She had that sorted out straight away.
Yep, the Buzz and Woody. Yeah,
yeah, fantastic. Yeah. I have a 4-year-old who's really into Toy Story.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Absolutely. And do you want to share?
So I have twin girls and that's how Kate and I met.
Yes.
So my girls are 14 and they're fraternal twins and they both have a hemiplegia cerebral palsy. So one left and one right. And one of my daughters also has an intellectual disability. So I just thought no one's really talking about twins. Well, I just felt there's a massive gap in the twin world or the multiple birth world. And I work in the multiple birth world as well. And so there's a lot of, you know, glory in having the perfect twins, and then no one talks about families like mine.
No.
So I have one girl in mainstream school and one in a special school. And so I was like, who am I going to find to understand what I'm going through? I can't find anybody. So I thought, oh, well, we'll be the people.
Yeah. That's what I love about your podcast. You're always saying, I need to find my people. Yeah. I need to find my tribe.
Yeah, yep. All the time. Yep. Because you feel lonely when you're different. So now no one's lonely anymore.
No.
What's the feedback you've had from people?
Oh, it's
every day.
Overwhelming. Every day.
Every day for 5 months.
Yep. Just email after email, messages.
Yep.
Messaging. Instagram. Facebook. We can't keep up with it really.
No, we can't actually. It's getting a bit hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and the people, it's not like someone just sends a one line saying, I've really enjoyed listening. We get like 2 A4 page letter of, I've cut this down, but
this is what happened to me.
And their stories. This, and so you can't
We cry.
Go, and we have to reply.
Yeah, we can't just go, thanks.
Amazing. So we've decided we're going to compile a book one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our next move.
You know, and then people can have it.
Yeah. They can see their stories. So, feedback. Yesterday, the shopping centre, I got pulled. A woman said, oh, my God, Mandy.
because you're celebrities now.
Well, I mean, really. The other night I said to her, I was still cleaning up Dog Diary the other night. Nothing's changed. and I was at the Royal Children's on Tuesday and a physio came up straight up to me and said, everyone's listening in the hospital, Mandy. And I was like, what? So, you know, that's
huge,
awesome.
Actually, from all allied health teachers, so many pediatricians, like people that I would never have thought.
Professors.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. All the OTs, physios.
And bothering to write to us.
Yeah. Psychologists.
Because that's something that struck me actually, listening to you talk about what it was like in the hospital in those really early days. I just cried. I just sobbed.
Yeah.
And look, I think for women in that situation and parents, there is so much that happens that is insensitive or accidentally insensitive or so confronting that you never thought you would be in those situations, even for people in all different types of situations.
That's right.
You know, childbirth, all of those things can be so traumatic and you just are thrust into this medical world when they're your kids, right?
Yeah.
And you love them and it's
in your heart.
In your heart.
And you're vulnerable.
Oh my
God. Very vulnerable. So I just don't think I realised how vulnerable little Mandy was.
So vulnerable. And then you're trying to navigate specialists or even if you have a normal, for want of a better word, birth. It's still trauma.
Yeah.
And then everyone's just like, here's your baby, breastfeed, off you go.
Yeah.
I know my mum always talks about, so I'm 47, and when she had me, she was like, I was in hospital for 2 weeks.
Yeah, my mum was too, 10
she's
days.
She's like, they taught me how to feed, and they'd take you and give me a nap. And she said, I felt loved.
Yeah.
And whereas I think we're like churned through. You don't feel loved.
No. Oh, no. No, you don't. You don't feel loved. I think the baby feels a bit more prioritised than you.
Yes.
My mum used to talk about that she went in and it was this special, you were treated so specially because you have done this incredible thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, isn't that incredible? And, you know, mum talked about the nurses would look after her baby so she could go have a date with my dad. And, you don't get any of that. It doesn't feel special.
And they want you to get dressed now. Like my mum was like, why are you dressed?
Yes.
She said, I just got different bed jackets and I sat up in bed.
In like those beautiful dressing gowns and all with the shoulder pads.
Yeah, my mum said she came home and knew what to do.
Yeah, because 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, as opposed to a couple of days and out.
Well, I think I was out after 4 days and they were still in NICU.
That.
Like it was just like, go home. You've got to go home and then you've got to come back. Like I just didn't even expect that I'd be kicked out.
For people who don't understand what NICU is what it's like, do you want to talk us through that?
Well, so we had our twins premature. Now, I didn't know that I was having mine premature, but Kate did.
Yep,
I
did. So NICU stands for Neonatal Intensive Care Unit. So that's one-on-one nursing with each baby. Mm. Now there's limited beds in the NICU and there's how many places in Melbourne? So Monash, the Women's, the Children's and the Mercy. So they're the 4 places that have NICU.
If you have a baby at any other hospital, it will be ambulanced to NICU if you have that baby before 34 weeks.
And then you'll be left in your hospital. So that didn't happen to us.
No, we knew.
But we know people that that's happened to.
So you're in one hospital, your babies are in another.
Yeah.
Oh,
God.
Yep. It happens all the time.
All the time, like every day probably.
Because if you go into labour early, you go to the hospital that you were going to give birth in.
That's right. Or you're a country town or
teaching or tertiary hospital. They're have NICUs.
Yeah, so we were at the same one. We were at Monash.
Yep.
And thankful for that.
Yeah.
But even then there was you had a you know, moment where they might have been sent to Tassie.
Yeah, that's right. So they can go anywhere, Tassie, Canberra, Sydney. So
Adelaide.
What they do every morning is, I don't know, ahead of some specialists will ring and find out where all the beds are, because obviously premature babies aren't usually planned.
Yeah.
So, and then they deliver the baby and they'll send it wherever there's a bed. So imagine the trauma of that.
Oh.
Oh, the way you talk about that world and what it was like in that, in those rooms, what I couldn't get over was how little care they gave you, in a way, probably not by accident, but there's no bed for you. You've just had all this trauma, whether it's a cesarean, whether, you know, all of the tearing it, male listeners, everything stuff, you know, that happens to you. Yeah. And, I mean, I could barely get out of bed after I had my son.
No.
And
Kate walked the halls to go and see her baby.
Yeah. I don't know. That's – oh, my God. I just sobbed. My husband Jace kept coming in. He's like, "Are you a runner?" I can't, Kate. And she walked. She walked all the way. And he's like, "Who's Kate?
She did what walk are you talking all the way. About?" Well, see, we had a fireman in New South Wales listening to us, and he was crying. And his wife asked him what he was listening to, and he said, "Oh, it's just a footy podcast." He couldn't tell her.
Oh, I love it. Oh, because I could just see, I could feel the way that you spoke about it. I'm so sorry
it's
that
still
happened
trauma.
To you.
Yes.
Like, and I don't know, but there just isn't the resources to help the mums. So we have to keep these babies alive. Like that's what's important in the hospital. So the mums aren't important anymore.
No.
You're not a patient.
And your pregnancy was super high risk.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So I had the advantage of knowing my boys would be born early and doing a tour of the NICU and the special care, meeting staff before I went there.
Yeah.
So I'd seen what it was, where it was in the building, all of that.
Did that help or was it scary?
Well, for me it helped because we didn't think that the boys were going to be born. So once we thought maybe they would be, and up until when they were born we didn't know if they were going to be born alive, I just thought this is going to be someone else's problem. Like it was almost a relief a little bit that – because I felt like, well, I'm keeping them alive, but I can't do anything about it if they live or not.
Yeah.
So
it's terrifying, Kate.
It was. Yes. No, it
absolutely
was really
terrifying.
Real trauma. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And people, like when you go to Monash Medical Center, they've got like a place where they do scans on the high risk women, and there's a whole packed waiting room of all these women, all of them. You don't know. So when they start doing the scan, the first things they say is, all right, there's a heartbeat, there's a heartbeat. Then they look for the other things because they know the trauma in you of are these babies or baby alive? And all of those people sitting there with the same trauma and no one, you don't talk about it, you don't, you know.
No, everyone should be getting a cup of tea.
Yes.
And are we allowed to swear on this podcast or not?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, fuck yeah.
I'm not a big swearer, clearly. But, yes, you absolutely can.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, put out the red carpet for those mummies.
Oh my God.
I cannot believe
social
that.
Workers or volunteers who sit with you.
Yeah.
And make sure,
nothing.
It's nothing like it's all about the babies.
And maybe things have changed in 2019 because it was 2005.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, there's big change in the support for premature babies. There's, you know, Life's Little Treasures and Miracle Babies. I mean, we didn't have any of that.
No.
So I'd say if you were to have prem twins today at Monash, you would probably have a little bit of a different story to us in terms of maybe, you know, they have packs where you get, you know, I don't know.
We had
a little outfit. I did get a little outfit. Came.
There were
really
nannas that worked for
the auxiliaries.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they gave me tiny little beanies.
Yes, I did get tiny beanies. I've
still got them.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Because
I've got
so
them too.
Tiny.
Oh, tiny. Yeah. Those were kind of similar sizes.
They were.
My littlest was 1.5 and the biggest was 1.9. She was quite big actually.
Yeah.
For 31 weeks. And that's nothing compared to some prems.
No. Little 24 weekers are.
Yeah. At 400 grams, you know.
Yeah. And that's the thing, I guess, isn't it? Every woman's experience or family's experience in this era is so different that you can feel guilty or something for feeling, you know, I'm not as – that's not as bad as my situation or,
Every
you know,
day.
They've got it better than me. And that was something that I found really interesting too that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And you had for want of a better word, normal pregnancy.
Yeah,
really,
it was tricky, but nothing like Kate's. Like to me, it was painful from about 26 weeks, but we didn't really know what was going on. I was having lots of back pain. I think I had a kidney infection actually, and no one picked it up. Yeah, it was. I was relieved when I remember saying to Mum that week, I just want them out. And she said, no, you actually have to suffer for them to be okay.
Yeah.
And she was right. But I was just like, I couldn't even wipe my bottom anymore. I couldn't. You know, I just had to wipe that from the front. I bet your listeners will be happy to hear
we're
that.
We're oversharing. Sorry.
No, but massive oversharing.
That is so great because there are so, I'm sure there are so many other women yeah. that experience that, yeah. but no one says it,
it
to you.
It took me ages so to go to wipe my bum from the back again after I had them because I was just doing it from the front because I was so wide.
Yeah.
I couldn't, like, my arm stopped there.
Oh, my gosh.
Two just, babies is a lot of babies.
It's a lot of, it's not just the babies, it's the sacs, it's amniotic fluid. The fluid, yep. You know, so
all the
it's
swelling.
This, yeah, so it's yep. not just two babies. Because people go, oh, well, that's as much as a term baby. Yes, but.
Kind of miraculous.
You know, and we feel like that ways. About triplet mums. Like, we can't yeah, really look wow. at them. We think, wow, how
amazing.
Did they do
no,
it?
We bow down before them.
Yeah, we bow yep. down for the higher order multiples. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, you did say something I thought was really important that a lot of people don't talk about the long-term effects of premature babies.
They
no one talks
prem.
About it.
No.
And as a teacher and I've taught kids who are prem
yeah. Yeah.
and it was sort of mentioned but in quite a whisper.
Yeah.
And no one says anything no. majorly about it, even though I've taught kids of all different abilities, but yeah. you could definitely see that there were things that yeah. they were finding difficult
definitely.
In the education system.
Yeah. yeah.
What did you wish you'd known?
I wish educators knew.
Yes.
So I don't think, like even last week I went to a meeting at school about Buzz and I said, so the stress of the pregnancy and the premature birth, we were told that he would have a global delay and cerebral palsy. So they're like, oh, wow, he's really amazing, isn't he?
Yes.
And I said, yes, but I thought you should know that as soon as someone says their baby was premature when they are enrolled.
That's right.
They should have had education to know, okay, you know, we need to put them on this path and there may be these, there may not be consequences because there are exceptions to every rule.
Mm.
But most children face ongoing issues.
Yeah.
And people don't want to talk about that because when you have a tiny baby that's premature, it's stressful enough.
Yeah, so you don't want to know about the future.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, but we're saying 14 years down the track that this is lifelong ramifications.
Yes.
And when you're ready to hear that, if you've had a prem, then you know you're not alone.
Yeah, that's right.
But we're not going to go into hospitals and go, well, they ate, watch out.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Because
no.
people celebrate prem babies and so we should because yes. it's amazing they're kept alive.
It is.
But there is ramifications of that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sort of going on to this topic too, what is it that you wish people knew when you have kids with differing ability? What is it that you wish people knew about what it's like?
Well, for me, I wish people would knew that we're in a living grief or I'm in a living grief. So I will be, you know, it doesn't mean that I can't live a great life, but I'm sad about their struggles and I think I'll be sad about it till the day I die. Mm. It's a long time to be sad. And so I want people to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me as a parent, and I can't speak for my husband, he's got his own mind, but I'm sad about it yeah. every day. And I have to get up and keep going because they are here.
Yeah.
And they are fabulous.
Yeah.
But I'm sad to watch them struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I know that this is not achievable, but I just wish that society wasn't obsessed with normalcy. And so diversity was just so embraced. And if, you know, you go somewhere and there's a child that's just doing laps of the room, everyone's, that's that child. You know,
yeah.
there's another child doing jigsaw puzzles. Good for that child.
Yeah.
But we want all the children to be doing jigsaw puzzles. Like that's what society wants. It's what kinders want, you know. So I think when your child doesn't follow that path, it's straight away isolating and you're judged. And, yeah, I would just wish people didn't give a fuck.
That's what I
No.
Because totally. Nobody is perfect.
No.
What is normal? Nobody's
What's normal.
No, I know. I know. I love that story you talked about. You had sort of a beautiful dinner party where you'd set up this beautiful table and, you know, because you both run your own businesses and yours is styling. Yeah. So I can only imagine how
she's
glorious.
She's amazing. It's glorious.
Yeah. I'm like, I was so nervous when you were coming to
my
house.
Oh,
like, I've got like 4-year-old
to my house.
Stuff everywhere.
Yeah, no. It doesn't bother me at all.
All right. Yeah. And then your beautiful son just gets up and runs across the table.
And
a long table too.
It's very long. Oh, my God. And then just sits back down like nothing had happened.
Oh, he wanted the juice, didn't he?
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, fair enough too.
Good on him. And then someone that was sitting at the table said something pretty
horrible. The other couple that were sitting there, they looked at each other and the wife said to the husband, I won't use the child's name, but, oh, we're so blessed with Tommy. Mm. I was just like, oh. Because you're already really conscious that your child's just run down the table. It's not something nobody noticed.
But then they turned it around to, aren't we lucky aren't that that's not lucky. Us?
Rather than having a good old laugh. Like, oh, mate, I could have passed it to you. Yeah, right. Good on you. Yeah. Or, yep. You know, could be a sprinter in the Olympics. You never know.
That's right.
Totally.
Yeah. And that's
a judgment.
It's the judgment. There's a lot of judgment when your children aren't neurotypical.
Yeah.
A lot. Mm. Because if you met my boys, they look whatever you want to – I don't know what this word is – typical.
They yeah,
typical.
They do.
Yeah.
But a few minutes into conversation, especially with one of them, you realise, okay.
You're okay. A character.
Yes. You're a character. Yeah,
you're a character.
As the school describes him, quirky.
Yeah. Quirky quirkster.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're always my favourite kids.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love them. Yeah. See life differently, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And don't we all need more of that?
Yes.
We do. Oh,
God. I think we're all so stuck in this perfect Instagram. Yeah. Everyone has to look perfect, perfect bubbles.
Gosh.
And it's not real. No, it's not real. Good for your heart or for your head. It's not good for your kids.
No.
Like, everybody has their own difficulties and challenges, and people can hide it a lot better, you know, whether they have wealth or, you know, the ability to mask all of that stuff.
Yeah.
There's still a whole lot of shit going on.
That's right.
It's just people hide it.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think podcasts are changing that because it's giving people like us, and you too probably, the everyday person has a voice.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think that's amazing because who would ever have listened to us? No one.
Nobody.
No one. You know what I mean. Even with my business, I've tried to get some, you know, see if I could get my voice out there. Nothing ever.
No.
So until you start being authentic, and then wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that an Oprah thing? I'm going to be a bit of
I love Oprah. Oh, I love Oprah.
But isn't that when, and I think that's what resonates with your show, and people ask me all the time, how to start a podcast or what should I do a podcast about or blah, blah, blah. And I'm in no way an expert, but I do say that's the thing. You can hear if you're really speaking from your heart and people connect with it like almost immediately.
Yeah.
Zing, it's like a light goes on.
Yeah.
And then makes people feel less alone.
That's right.
And aren't we all, I think, a lot of people are very lonely.
Yes, very.
And we've had so much feedback from that. I'm just lonely. I'm on my own. Even though they're married or, you know.
Mm.
And then, we're like, no, now we've got a community.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Honestly, my God, so amazing.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
So what is it about, just what is it about your lives that bring you joy? Because I know we've talked quite a lot about the stuff that is really difficult.
Yep. I'm a person that laughs all the time.
Yep.
So no, really?
I know. I find joy in a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it definitely keeps me going. But the really amazing thing about having children with additional needs is they're really funny. Like,
every
day. I can't even tell half the stories.
I know, me either.
For judgment.
Yeah.
But my gosh, one of my twins the other day was standing in the bathroom swearing at the mirror before school. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, just getting all the shits out.
You can't not laugh.
You can't.
Like, and we've all felt like that.
We have. I've got to do this. School's hard. I've got to do it today. Yep, I'm going to get all the shits out.
I love it so much. I used to work with a teacher who had, and this sounds terrible, a fuck cupboard, but not to do that. But just when things got too much in her classroom and the kids were going inside, she would just be like,
that's my pantry.
Like, so anyway.
You need it.
Yes,
you
do. I laugh too, and my girls give me so much humour. My husband's really funny too. So even though we've had some hard times, obviously, sometimes he says some really hilarious things. So, you know, movies. We went to the movies last – did we go a couple of times last year and we laughed a lot and we said, yes. I think we should do a podcast on movies yes, that are
that's
funny.
That's right, we did.
And then that's how we started thinking about it. Because yes. we were the only ones cacking ourselves in the movies.
We were.
And we started off when we went to see the Book of Mormon and we laughed so loud that everyone was staring at us.
Yeah, they were.
They were.
They were. And then we had this young guy, really attractive, not that that matters, sitting next to
us. It does to us when we're old.
Yeah. And he was with his beautiful girlfriend. Yeah. And I said to him, I'm so sorry. He's like, I am so glad you're next to me. She's not laughing at all.
Yeah, that's right.
Thrilled to be
here. Yeah, because we couldn't stop laughing. No. So, yeah, we've had that connection always to have a laugh together.
Yeah, we have.
TV shows, podcasts, my dad read a porno, our most favourite.
So funny.
You know, we just laugh every week.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think also this sounds shallow, but making my bed in the morning and putting all the cushions on just brings me
joy.
Makes
you happy, yeah.
I have got my shit together.
Rest of the house, bombshell.
I read that somewhere about making your bed.
Yeah.
My best friend and I used to do that when we were teenagers or something. And it does change your mood. Yeah. Those European cushions that my husband thinks are irrelevant.
Yeah. Yep. They are so relevant. Yes. So relevant.
I don't know what it is about cushions. It's like another cushion.
Yeah.
I'm like, just you don't understand.
Well, my husband, Molly, who I call one of my twins, she said, Dad made the bed wrong. So he put the skinny pillows at the back and then the European in front. And she lost her mind. Dad did it wrong. I was like, yes, he did.
Because there is it's something silly. In that. No, but it's something about making your space around you feel beautiful. That
there really, really is.
Makes you feel better.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I like to have a Coke Zero every day.
Oh, yeah, Diet Coke.
Yeah. It's just my like little every day. It's a happy sound.
Yeah. So bad for me.
It's so funny. Just sit and have my lunch by myself. I suppose, you know, after 10 years of early childhood, to actually have lunch by myself, I find such a treat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so something that I like, you know.
I was having a Diet Coke at work the other day and a plumber came into the lunchroom and he goes, they'll kill you, you know.
Yeah,
and I just said, people inject heroin. He's like, okay. So what's with that judgment? You've never met me.
Honestly,
there are worse
we've
things.
All got something.
Yep. Oh yeah, I'm a coffee person.
Yeah.
But you do those little moments in your day. Do you think that having been through trauma, little things bring you so much more joy than they used to?
Yep.
Do you
without a doubt.
Yep.
Mainly in terms of our children's when they do something that you didn't think they were going to do, or you know, like the little moments that other families would just not even expect.
Yeah, like we just take it for granted.
Like this morning, Molly got herself dressed. She really, and that's a big deal to me because I normally have to do it for her.
Yeah.
I do her hair and all that sort of stuff. But I said, thank you for doing that. She's 14 and I'm thanking her for getting herself dressed.
Yeah.
But so those things really, jump out to us.
Small goals.
Yeah. Really small things are massive.
Yeah, they are.
They're the little wins and you've got to celebrate them.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I loved one thing that you said because a lot of people, obviously I was a teacher, so I have a lot of teacher friends, something I'd never thought about, you talked about the awards that people getting at school.
I think our most downloaded episode.
Just for turning up. So it's an attendance award.
Yeah.
And I used to work in Indigenous schools up north.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it off the pod.
Okay,
Because this is about you guys.
Yeah, okay.
It was a really amazing experience. Full on.
Yeah, I
intense,
bet.
Lots of kids with trauma. And,
I bet.
Huge things, but hilarious.
Yeah.
But they had that. They had like the attendance awards.
And I get that.
I think that's a different scenario to our little eastern suburb school, although I did find out it was. For the refugee children. We've got a big Burmese population at our school. But on the day when it happened, I just started having a panic attack.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds really dramatic and no one would have noticed, but my heart was pumping and I was just outraged that all these children were getting lined up and given an award for attending every day of term. And I was thinking my daughters would never get that.
No.
Like, then that's not their fault.
Well,
they've had surgeries. And last year I had quite a number of surgeries. So this happened last year. I was on high alert, I suppose.
Yeah.
Maybe a few years later, maybe it wouldn't have been as offensive.
And we've had
a lot of people say.
And also the feedback on ridiculous awards.
Ridiculous awards.
So if your child is an academic, which is a lot of kids, they give them ridiculous awards.
words.
No. Because you're trying to find something.
Oh, no. And so then let's just get rid of them. That's what we believe. Yeah. We're anti-awards in school.
Yeah, just get rid of them in primary school.
Yeah. I totally agree because I also think kids know when they get a B.
Yeah, they totally do know.
And it doesn't give them any more self-esteem. It does the opposite.
It does.
That's kids actually get, and people, humans, get real self-esteem from things like your daughter getting herself dressed.
Yeah, that's right.
Or reading a book that you couldn't read before.
That's right.
Learning a new word.
Exactly.
Knowing that you had a goal, you worked towards it, you got it.
Yeah.
And the glow that they get is so much better than a stupid certificate with a donkey on it.
It's so trite now. Sat through so many assemblies. I just think,
God. And student of the bloody week.
Yes.
We had to do that at our school and I was just, I would have to give it to the kid that I know had tried the least but wait till December and be like, I'm getting it now. And you're like, I know you've done nothing all year but here's your star of the week. Like,
I
agree.
I think they're really hurtful. So in the podcast, we talk about the fact that one of my five is quite bright and we call her Scholarship because she – has got a lot of scholarships, but she can be quite, what's the word, not street smart.
Yeah.
So my brother teases her every time she makes a ridiculous decision. Come on, Scholarship.
Yeah,
so
why'd you make that
She
for?
Said to me the other day, you have to change that because people don't know that backstory and they think I'm up myself.
Oh. Okay, maybe.
Maybe. But, so she, school came easy for her, right? She's just finishing her year 12 now. Mm. But she got top NAPLAN and the school would send her an award in the mail for getting top NAPLAN. Mm. Top all those ridiculous tests you did, but she did no more work. She would have done less work than the twins would do to do
try
homework.
And get that. Yeah.
Because it takes them forever to do anything and we've got to scaffold it and have post-it notes. It's like an occupational therapy session just to do 10 minutes of writing, which takes us an hour.
Yeah.
So why don't they get an award?
Yeah.
She is going to, if everything goes fine in her VCE, get a really good mark. Isn't that the reward for her?
Like,
getting into a uni course she wants, why do you give her an award in grade 4 when some of her friends are in ed support and struggling with dyslexia and all other things and here she's getting this award because she can read Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So?
Yeah.
Like that's not – I do not like them.
Yeah, because it's harmful for the
it's
other children
for
watching
the other
that.
Children. And she doesn't actually need it because when you're the top of the class, you know.
Yeah.
You do. And when you're the bottom,
sure
you
do.
Know.
Yeah.
So let's not give her a spotlight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what I did love is how you talk about kindness and empathy.
Empathy.
Yeah. And how much that's such an important thing for kids. And my God, if someone said to me, your boy's really kind.
Oh
could you
I'm
guess
the best
compliment?
You know.
Or you know, I remember my friend's son was doing cross country, his friend fell over, he stopped. Picked him up and they ran together. And she said, that was it. That's the moment of my parenting life.
Yes.
Oh, you know? Yeah. And I was like, yes, that is something to be proud of.
It is something
character.
To be proud of.
Right? Yes. Yeah. And that showing your heart and being kind and empathetic and compassionate, my God, much more important, I think, than all of that other stuff.
Yeah.
What is it? Because you talked a lot about food and people giving you food and what people did for you, particularly in those early days, but even now.
Yep.
What is it if someone has a mate who's going through something like this?
We're talking about this in the car.
Yeah, what's the stuff? What's the good stuff? No mints? Is that right?
No mints. Yeah. No mints policy. Yep, no lasagnas. So because we had so many and I just couldn't eat another lasagna. And that sounds awful when you've been so graciously given food.
No, but what did you say when you know better, you do better?
Yeah, that's right. So when it came to the time when I was making a meal for someone, I said to myself, it's a no mince policy. So just think of something else because all the other people will bring lasagnas.
Yep.
And then I started telling people that and then they were like, oh, Mandy, oh, my God, I bought you a lasagna. I was like, I know, but I'm sorry, but I'm just not doing it anymore.
I need to be honest. No holds barred.
What did you say, Kate, in the car?
I think you have to muck in. So
That was a good word one of our listeners said.
Yeah, if someone rang me and – so I've recently broken my arm. So nothing to do with parenting.
Yep.
And if you rang me and said, can I help? I'd say, no, I'm fine. Mm. But if you turned up at my house with dinner, which lots of my lovely friends did, or came and said, oh, I've got half an hour, I'm going to do your laundry.
Yeah.
Then you're like, okay.
And thank you.
I was saying to Mandy when my twins were tiny, so I had the other three children were all in primary school, a friend just came and said in November, we're going to do all your Christmas shopping today. Let's take all the supplies to Eastland, our local shopping centre, and we just did it all. She went back and forth to the car. I sat in the change room. It was actually a horrible day, but great.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have done it. Yeah. I couldn't have done it. And that sort of stuff, I don't think you can offer, you have to actually do.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's so wise.
I can come this day. These are the days I can come, and I'm going to come and give you a hand wherever you're at.
Yep. Yeah. Not a do you need help? Yeah. Because everyone will say no.
They will. I'm pretty much. Over the edge desperate.
Well, last year I knew Molly was having another surgery and I knew I was going to need help because I've done surgery before. And so I actually put it out there and said, can someone start me a meal train?
Yep.
So you can do those online where you type in and people can see what meals everyone else is bringing, see where the lasagnas are. and then for 3 weeks I had people bringing dinner every night, and people would bring dessert, then they'd bring like biscuits or they'd bring things for school lunches, breadsticks, bags of chips, like just the women just got beside me. And I had fruit baskets, just, you know, fresh fruit, nice strawberries, just things like that. Helps when you're a mum with 3 kids and you can't get to the shops.
That's life-changing.
Yeah. It's life-changing. Yeah. I'd turn or a magazine in with the fruit basket. Oh, it was beautiful.
Just that.
People mowing our lawns. We've had that twice where I've had people, I've heard the lawnmower and gone, what the hell? And there's our friend out there, usually the dad mowing our lawn. You know, like just go and do it.
That's so
just put
beautiful.
Your lawnmower in your car and go and fucking mow their lawns.
That's right. You heard it, man. All right. If you see it,
like
do
something
it.
Like that really helps.
Yeah.
So,
And
because I think people feel like they don't want to intrude.
That's the other thing Kate said. You have to be prepared to be turned away.
Yep.
Okay. So I remember when I was deeply grieving about my daughter, one of my friends came to the door and I turned her away.
Yep.
We're still friends. She accepted it, but I just said, no, I can't talk to you today.
Yeah.
So that's the only person I've ever done that to. And I've been friends since I was 13. So I probably knew I could do that to her.
Yeah.
But it was, I don't think I've ever done that ever again. I was that low. Mm. So just don't take that personally.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Off you go.
And or if no one answers, just leave the food at the door and go. You don't be expected to come in and bring your 3 kids and have a morning tea.
No way. You know? And if you've got, we had a friend whose husband was terminally ill. And so we organised a massive camping esky that could keep food cold for like 6 days.
Yeah, have it
days,
out in the
And we
out
just
the
put
front.
A note on it and said, anything you put in here will not be returned.
Yeah.
And people just put it in and left and they didn't have to. You don't have to see the people either.
No, no.
Yeah, sometimes just leaving it at the door, right?
Just leaving
it's really, walking away. Really good.
It's powerful.
Yeah, it is powerful.
Yeah.
I remember I haven't told this story and I've got to because my friend was a naturopath and I had mastitis when I was in the hospital and she massaged my boob.
Oh, my God.
So the milk could come out.
You guys have some amazing friends.
Yes, I forgot to tell that story. But I was so desperate and in so much pain, I did not care that my friend was massaging my tit.
But that's what it is, right?
But she did. There's a big lump. So she just got that lump out and then the milk started pouring out. And I was just like, thank you. She just sat on a little stool.
Oh, amazing.
She didn't care.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's something actually I related to when you were talking about expressing.
Yeah.
Yep. And just sitting on the It's the worst.
It's the worst.
Thing.
It is.
And nobody talks about how difficult breastfeeding can be. Not everyone's experience is like that. But if it is, and the shock of it and the guilt and then the cycle of like, well, you're not good enough as a mother and all of that kind of stuff, it's full on.
They're not baby cows. They don't just walk over and attach.
No, you know they don't. I mean?
They have to learn it and you have to learn it.
And it's a mind
and it's
game.
It's really hard.
It's a mind game.
Yeah.
You know, can I keep doing this? Can I do this for another 3 hours? Can I get to the next feed? Can I, you know? Or can I get up all night every 3 hours and express without babies home in the middle of winter? No, awful. But we did it. Yeah, because
put it in the freezer.
Yeah, or just the fridge, and then we drive to hospital 7 o'clock in the morning and take it, put it in their fridge.
Oh God!
Yeah, and then they were like, "Can you stop? Because we don't have enough room." Because when you're expressing, you can for some people you can get a lot of milk out eventually. So I'm bringing like a liter a day, and they were like, "They're not even drinking that much.
Yeah, they're taking 30 mils."
So just back off the expressing, Mandy. I was like, "Okay, I can go to 4 hours overnight."
Was it something that you felt like you could do though too? Because you went there in the hospital,
definitely.
Because I would have found that, oh my God, having to leave them there.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't actually ever get over that, I don't think.
No, you don't.
Yeah. No.
The idea of having somewhere accommodation where you could have stayed next to the hospital, there is
been
something
amazing.
In that.
Yeah.
There really is. Yep. Yeah. And I think they do it for country families.
They do.
But you're still 30 minutes from your children. And if I was lucky. I didn't get any of those phone calls. But people get phone calls in the middle of the night. Your baby's sick. You've got to come. You know, and you've got to get dressed and drive 30 minutes in a very distressed state.
Yeah.
While you're sobbing and oh my God.
And you've got other kids at home that you need to.
Yeah. And life still goes on. Bills have to be paid. That's right. Stuff has to be cleaned.
Yep. Darren went back to work.
All that. Because
it wasn't, what was the point?
Yeah.
We're both going to sit next to humidity cribs all day. And then I needed him when they came home.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a lonely time. Oh.
Well, you're bloody champions, both of you. My God.
I don't know, the stuff you've been through. And
yeah,
the
but
joy
we've got friends
that
go through worse.
Way tougher climbs than us.
You know, we really do. So we just think we're kind of mediocre.
Yep.
We're middle ground disability mums.
Yep.
And,
we have lots of friends with terminal children.
Yes, that's
right. They've got.
We do.
And so we know, I know that I am lucky. And we, Mandy and I are big proponents of luck.
Yeah.
Got a term baby, good luck.
Yeah.
Didn't, bad luck. Like it doesn't happen
because
for a reason.
You hear people saying, oh, well done, you made it to 38 weeks with twins. And that really upsets me. It's like, what do you mean you did well done?
No, your body just,
you're just lucky that happened. Because did that mean I didn't do well done?
Yeah, no. It's just,
no.
That is
all those words.
Oh. That is huge. It is not your fault. No. It is not. Women, I think, especially take it on. It's your fault. If things don't go right, if you can't breastfeed, if your baby's got sick or issues or can't sleep or whatever it is.
It's not your fault.
No, it's not just your fault.
Sick of it.
It's luck of the
draw. Sick of the world.
I say it all the time.
I'm sick of it. Stop it.
Yeah, two middle fingers up to everybody.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Actually, and speaking of, this is something we're sort of coming to the end soon because I'm conscious I don't want to keep too much of your time. But I wanted to ask you about religion.
Oh,
Christianity.
Yeah.
Because you talk about.
Yeah, we haven't got there yet. We're scared.
I know. Because you talk about how you were pretty intense.
Ex-super Christian.
Is that like Hillsong, like happy, clappy?
Sort of. I went to Hillsong quite a few times, but
Protestant church. I actually belonged to a church. So it's not mainstream either.
No.
So, and they have quite different religious views. Like they have the Sabbath like the Jews. So sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, you don't work. And so our whole culture, all of our friends were in that group because when you don't do anything Friday night to Saturday night, you can't hang out with regular folk. Like they're at the footy, you're not allowed to go.
Yeah, that's right.
So when we broke away from that, we had to reestablish ourselves a friendship group. And I was 33.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So
they're all your friends.
Was
that before or after you had your twins?
So after I had the first scan with the boys, I never went back to church. So it was like boom. And I remember standing in the shower crying, thinking, oh, my babies are probably going to die. How am I going to manage my life, my other kids? And you go through all hormonal thoughts that don't even make sense. And I remember like everyone at church, we'll pray for you, we'll pray for you. And then I remember thinking, so will my babies live because I'm praying for them? And then the other women that are sitting in that room at Monash, their babies won't live because no one's praying for them. And it was like this light bulb. And I went, oh, well, I can't be involved with a God like that. And I've never been back to church. So, yeah, that's really it. How can God bless one person and not another? How
it just doesn't.
Because like, when you go to
but
church.
But when you're in that, that's the language.
And it makes sense to you then.
Yeah, because everyone's saying the same things.
When you're at church, people say, God loves you like you love your children. So I looked at my kids and thought, well, just because they don't ask me for dinner doesn't mean I don't give it to them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, why was God only going to do it? What sort of relationship is it where I have to ask you constantly, do you like me, Mandy? Yeah. Do you still like me?
Yeah.
You know?
Fascinating.
I don't know. It just all of a sudden one day it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Wow. And it was that cut and dried.
It really was. And then I was, you know, worried. I was supposed to be on bed rest and then I had newborn twins and so then the gap had
just
got
trying
long
to get there.
Yeah.
Impossible.
And I went back once because mum and dad really wanted to show their grandbabies
off. Of course.
So we did go back, but I just felt foreign. I was just like, this is all weird all of a sudden. And the longer you – and I don't want to mean any disrespect. I've got good friends who are Christians and Seventh-day Adventists and I love them. And I love that they do what they believe because a lot of people don't do what they believe.
It's true.
So they do it and society mocks them for it. So I'm really proud of them for that. But when you don't believe it, it's hard to sit there. You're like, this is a bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, you suddenly see it as an outsider.
Yeah.
And it's very strange.
It's very strange.
I grew up very Catholic, went to like a happy clappy Antioch kind of group thing and did the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I think if you're someone that thinks very deeply about the world and your place in it and everything and
spiritual,
for want of a better word, you can't help but think, well, you know, there is a lot about it that's wonderful.
Yes, and,
you know,
there
you're
is.
Part of a community.
That's right. Yep. And people cared for us at that
they
time.
They really did. We got meals
from
for
our
months.
Churches. Yep. Yes.
Yeah. And it's a amazing. Structure. And but there are also inherent deep problems too. Massive ones, especially role of women too. And
very big.
Massive.
Yeah. But it is strange to step out of it and then go back and be like, there's a man in a dress.
Yeah.
He's never had a family telling me how family life is. Huh?
I know.
It's interesting.
It is.
You must have found that so difficult at a time in your life where you needed support.
Well, I think, more power to them, they still supported us. They didn't know that I'd had that little epiphany.
Yeah.
And they just thought, well, she can't make it to church.
Yeah.
But it soon became obvious that we couldn't. And I think, and I was like the children's worship leader.
Yeah.
I did worship service, leading out in the songs. My husband played the music. So we had a huge community. And I think out of that community, I have two friends that really said, you don't give a shit, you're our friend.
Yeah.
Because, and I don't think that people don't like me. I think that what brought us together was that common belief. And once you question those beliefs, they struggle to relate to you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Can't do the foyer talk.
Small talk in the foyer.
Yeah. Can't, which I love that you said that's actually stood me in really good stead.
Really? Yeah. Well, Darren was like, my husband, he's like, I can get away from anyone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, oh, hang on, I've just got to go over there.
Yeah,
that's what I mean about when he's funny.
Yeah.
Because he didn't grow up in the church, and then he joined when he was about 19, but I grew up in it. So he had a life before it, then was in it for a bit, and then when everything happened with the girls, then we both stopped going.
So you stopped going as well.
Yeah. Well, I just couldn't go anymore. I was a singer. I was a worship leader too. I was sung. I didn't care about sermons. I just loved singing. And so I'd go, I'd get there, I'd get the two babies there, and then I'd think, I can't sing those words.
No.
I cannot sing those words anymore. Yeah. I'm so sad and I'm so tired.
Yeah, and I could be asleep now. My husband could be looking after the kids.
Yeah, why am I dragged us all here? We'd moved out of the area. So from the church we were kind of living close to, we moved a fair way away. So it didn't feel like my community anymore. But it was, I called it a faith crisis. People couldn't understand how I'd left. My whole extended family is in this church.
Yeah, so is mine.
It's massive. So, we haven't spoken about it yet because we're nervous. Haven't. But anyway, it's good to kind of talk about it a bit and then we can do it because we're going to do it before Christmas.
Yeah.
So, because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Because we love it.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Where are you at now with God?
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's really hard when you've been brought up with a really strong belief to just go, that's not true. But I can just say that it doesn't make sense, a lot of it. And I feel a freedom from knowing that if there's a God and he likes me, that's cool, you know, and if he doesn't like me, that's also cool. Because did he make me in his image? That's what it says in the Bible.
Yeah.
So then he must like me.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's done.
Yeah.
Or she.
That's right. Exactly.
There's no she's
in the Bible.
No,
no. This is just off topic a little, but I was speaking to an obstetrician who was saying to me, she read a really interesting article. She's not religious, but they were talking about women's pain in hospital, women's experience in hospital, all the stuff that we go through, and how often suddenly through childbirth you suddenly are not given the respect. Your pain isn't respected.
Yes.
Endometriosis, period pain, not respected.
Yes.
And she said, some of it may be linked to in the Bible when Eve eats the apple and then the line is something, I'm going to butcher it, but, you know, now you are cursed
forever. Every month.
Yeah. Every month with pain in childbirth or whatever.
And what did men get? Fucking weeding.
Yeah.
There will be weeds in your garden.
And you know what? That to me made me so infuriated. But then I also thought, that there is something in our culture that is still there.
Of course there is.
Not consciously necessarily.
No, it's just,
But something about women's
pain. Well, there's a lot to unpack.
There is a lot.
It's a whole episode. So, yeah. You know, we don't have that much time, but I can't wait to listen to that episode.
Yeah, well, we're going to think about it. We'll try and do a good job.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I could fill an episode with telling you all the stupid shit people said to me.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't necessarily want to do that.
No.
I'll say a few. But
just the really, really
stupid really,
ones.
Really bad ones.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but, you know, the impact on our parents, your parents.
Heartbroken.
You know, heartbroken. Heartbroken the children weren't being brought up in the church.
Heartbroken.
Devastated, still devastated about that.
So it's a really.
You realised you were breaking people's hearts.
Yeah,
it's awful.
That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, it's hard to leave. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. My friends have stayed beside me. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, religion wasn't quite as.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
I don't think. No. You had more rules.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So me leaving. And look, I think, you know, because I had a diagnosis pretty early of cerebral palsy, I think people were more forgiving, whatever the word is. So, you know, but I certainly noticed people then carrying on with the church life that I wasn't in anymore. And I knew that I was out of that world. Yeah. And that was that hurt for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now I don't feel quite like that. Yeah, I feel like, oh, thank God I don't have to go to all these meetings. For fuck's sake.
I know.
7:30 meeting for this, 7:30 meeting for that.
10% of your income.
Yeah. I never did that anyway. So I'm going to hell anyway.
No, God. Well, thank God that you don't have to sit there and listen to a bloke.
I know, Claire. It's just not relevant.
Just a bloke. Sit there and talk to you who like, in the Catholic Church, has no children.
No. Irrelevant.
Most of the time, a lot of the time, probably gay and repressed
for
many years.
Poor things. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of repression.
A lot.
And guilt and all kinds of things are going on.
Yeah.
So, God, we could talk for hours.
Oh, yeah.
So much to talk to you about.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you just before we finish about what it's like for you to have a voice now and have your podcast, because this is your creative outlet, right?
Yeah.
So what is it that creativity gives you, this thing? Because you were singing, you have your styling, you both have your own businesses, but what is it creativity gives you?
I think it's actually been life-changing.
Life-changing.
Yeah. I feel.
Just in 5 months.
I can't even put it into words, but I just feel lighter.
Same. And I feel proud. I feel proud of us.
And
we did it.
We're telling things that we haven't told.
Yeah.
We've been hiding these secrets.
And I think both of us are kind of people join us. Like, you know that person, you know that person, you should be friends
And
so we're just doing that on the highest level. So we've got a Facebook hangout and now everyone's in there. Nothing makes me happier than seeing people cheering each other on in there.
Yeah,
so I'm so thrilled to be a people joiner.
Yeah. It's
find just, friends. You're not alone anymore.
It's
no more people crying on the floor by themselves. No more.
Yeah.
Or in the shower.
They're in the shower.
Well, they do.
Or
at
least.
Write down.
But then they tell us.
Yeah.
And then we say, yeah.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So that's not stopping, but people don't feel like that's unusual.
Yes.
That they cry every night in the shower.
Yeah.
So we're saying you're not alone.
No.
That is life changing.
It's
interesting, and I've got stories to tell now. And I go to book club, and they're like, "Oh my God, Mandy, what are you up to in the downloads?"
So exciting! Oh, and don't even get me started about the Lee Sales and Annabelle Crab effect of your download.
It just changed everything.
Yep, it really
100,000 downloads.
And it just goes to show when you're in the podcast world, what somebody else can give you.
Yeah.
By being
and
generous
we will do
with
that
5
too.
Minutes of your time.
Totally.
Like, it's just such a lovely community that, like on TV, someone wouldn't say on Channel 10, you should watch this show on Channel 7.
Yeah. No.
But in the podcast world, everyone's like, this is a good one. Listen to that.
Yeah.
I love
it. Yeah.
It's sharing.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful community. And when we went to that, I'm going to say it wrong.
Ozpod.
I always call it PodCon.
PodCon. That's a cool one. You should create another conference called PodCon.
Well, anyway, so
Peyton,
Ozpod. We realised that. We were like, wow, people are really nice here. And well, maybe, I mean, hopefully forever, but in the early days of podcasting, I suppose, people are interested. You were. You listened to us.
Yeah, you were so lovely.
Oh,
We didn't know anyone. We were just turning up like the mums, the 40-year-old mums from outer eastern suburbs.
Well, I turned up. None of my friends were there. And I just, you were so lovely. Just so welcoming, like automatically. Oh, my God.
Well, and my mum always told me, be a friend to everyone, because she always has mantras. And so she just said that to me every day when I went to school. Be a friend to everyone. Be a friend to everyone.
Just so
I think it worked.
Yeah.
So I just look out for people.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
You can tell that.
You don't want to be on your own.
And you're looking out for people now.
Yeah.
No, no one wants to be lonely. No. What is Glennon Doyle, who I adore, talks about everyone's hot loneliness. And once you actually tell everybody about how lonely you are or how much you're feeling or the terrible, honest things that are happening to you for real, suddenly everybody opens and everyone's lighter and freer.
Yep.
That's what's happening.
And
that's what's with us.
Yeah.
In every email.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. Well, if you haven't listened to Two P's in a Podcast with T-double-O.
T-double-O.
Correct.
The P2 movement.
You have to go back to the first episode.
Listen to the first episode and you'll hear it explain everything.
Yeah. Correct. That was great. All the different names as well for your show.
So great. Yeah.
I love it. People are amazing. You should actually go and check it out if you haven't listened already.
Thank you.
And you can listen in Apple and all the places. Yeah,
all the places.
We're in all the
Absolutely.
Places.
And you're also on Instagram too.
Yes,
we are. Instagram handle.
Two P's Pod.
Two P's Pod. With your beautiful logo.
Yeah.
Two P's that your friends made.
Yeah,
two
P's.
And Facebook.
I love it.
Yeah, and Facebook and Twitter actually, but I'm not very good on that. That's me doing Twitter, so I'm trying. And then I tried to join LinkedIn, but I don't know how to do that.
Oh, I don't know either. That's a good confusing place.
I don't think we need to be on LinkedIn.
Well, someone said to me at that, I was like, oh, you better get on LinkedIn.
You know what? The Shameless Girls who've done the Shameless Podcast, which is a great one, they said they just focus on Instagram.
Okay,
because
all
that's their place. Because if your listeners, if you don't like Twitter, probably your listeners don't either.
Well, some people have been on there, but, you know, maybe like the doctors and the
– Yes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? The health professionals are following me on Twitter. Yeah. Okay, well, forget LinkedIn. I don't know how.
You can also share – now we're just getting good to other stuff. But you can also share like your – whenever you post on Instagram, you can just share it to Twitter.
Yeah, sure.
But it's,
just do it that instead. Yeah, okay.
But I don't know. Anyway. Go and listen. Thank you so
thank
much, Mandy.
You.
Kate.
Thank you.
So lovely.
Oh, and thank you for what you're bringing to the world.
Oh,
really?
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you, world, for listening.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to a podcast called Just Make the Thing with me, Claire Tonti, and this week with Mandy and Kate from Two P's in a Podcast. Okay. If you would like to find out more about Mandy and Kate, which you absolutely should, you should go and listen to their show, Two Peas in a Pod, and that's T-double-O, on iTunes and all the podcast apps. You can go and follow them on Instagram at Two Peas in a Pod and just deep dive into the joy and the humour and the mess and the honesty that they bring to their show. Life just throws you curveballs, and these two have certainly been thrown a lot of curveballs, but have taken them in their stride, and they're bringing a whole P community along with them. So I hope you get a lot out of their show and out of this interview too. For more shows just like this one, you can head to Just Make the Thing on all of the things, on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Claire Tonti on Instagram. That's where I like to tell stories and my social media of choice. You can also scroll back in the feed. I have interviews with people like Claire Bowditch, with comedian Will Anderson, with Luke McGregor and Celia Pacola, who wrote the beautiful ABC TV show Rose Haven. I've got heartfelt conversations with my friend Chanel, who's just become a new mum. We discuss parenthood and being a new mum and newborns and all the things in between. I've also got an interview with Carly Finlay, who is an incredible disability activist and writer, and her book Say Hello is so worth a read. All right, that's enough from me. As always, thank you so much to Raw Collings for editing this show, and I will speak to you soon. Ooh, just quickly, we have a new podcast called Suggestible that's been out just for a little while. It's with me and my husband, James. I'm going to leave a little teaser for you at the end of this episode. I hope you enjoy it. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We don't wish you a Merry Christmas.
It's the time of the year when Christmas is upon us.
Oh, my goodness. Christmas comes earlier every year. Next, it's going to be hot cross buns in the store.
It should come even earlier. I love the carols. I love the lights. I love the decorations. I love the two early Christmas trees up in the shopping centres. I'm very excited.
I love the way that you don't have to go to a shopping centre anymore for Christmas. You can just like buy stuff online. Then you have to elbow an old lady off a balcony to get to the last
whatever. That kind of person. You're the Grinch of Christmas.
As I've said to you before, the Grinch of Christmas is just the Grinch. You can apply that to other things. You could say you're the Grinch of sports. You're the Grinch of eating red apples.
Right. You're the Grinch of life, specifically
Fine, I'll take
Christmas.
That.
Anyway, I'm Claire, you're James, and yes. This is a podcast about recommending you things to watch, read, and listen to.
That's right.
What have you got for us this week, Grinch of all things?
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.